Julian and dying Uncle Ted.
Welcome to episode 40 of Tracking the Spine. I'm Zane.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Josh.
Oh no!
It's Freaky Friday! On a Thursday!
Happy almost Halloween!
Happy 40th episode, guys.
That's how old some of us are.
The show's
are.
Over the hill now, right? Isn't that what you say to when someone turns 40? They're
no,
over
I
the
guess.
Hill?
40's the new 30. Mm. 30 is the new 13.
So welcome to the new episode 30 of Cracking the Spine.
We're resetting. We're going
what?
Back.
I don't have... What?
It's confusing. I find it confusing.
In this timeline, I'm Sean. It's like J.J. Abrams took off.
Oh, God. This is my nightmare because I'm Josh.
Yay!
Yay! I'm still Zane.
Zane, what did you read this week? Or what are you currently reading? Or, you know, this part of the show.
I started reading that Chuck Palahniuk short stories book. Stories You
Can't Unmake Up, or
Stories You Can't Unread.
Right,
I think.
Make something up. Stories You Can't Unread.
That's it.
Yeah.
Pulled that out of nowhere.
Who did?
I did.
Oh, he's got it. He sells books for a living. I believe him. I'm only a few stories in.
I gave up after two.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was sort of like I wanted to read something, and this was sitting on my shelves, and it hadn't been read,
right.
So I picked it up. I mean, it's Chuck Palahniuk.
The first one, I think it was like a guy with his old dying father.
Yeah, and telling jokes.
And it seemed like it really could be like, like it might have some heart in it, and then you get to the end and it's like, no heart, Chuck Palahniuk. I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's,
nope, Chuck Testa.
Chuck Testa.
It's kind of weird, but
yeah.
I don't know. I might finish it. I was hoping that it'd be like spookier.
Okay.
You know, because I was like, well, it's a few days before Halloween. Maybe this will be at least like gross or creepy.
Well,
it didn't just come out.
Not. Like he didn't. It doesn't change.
Yeah,
no,
but it's still
season.
Chuck Palahniuk. That's why I was
fair enough.
It would
okay.
Be like
right.
Reliably creepy.
Okay.
Didn't think it would be Halloween themed.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Does it have a pumpkin on it? That's a good giveaway.
It does not.
Okay. Well,
no, it has the theater masks, like the. Comedy
sadness.
Comedy and tragedy. They have names. They're names of gods, but I don't remember them.
Dionysus. That's the god of drinking.
Yeah. No, that's Bacchus.
Bacchus. What's Dionysus, then?
What happens if you go to the Arctic without a jacket? You Dionysus.
Wow, that was really cleverly made up just now.
Or Syria.
All right.
Timely.
Josh, what are you reading?
I finished reading The Fold. I'm done reading it. By Chris Pine.
Peter Klein.
Peter Klein.
How was it? What do you think?
It was good. I don't know. I don't like endings like that typically, but I see where they're going with it.
It sets up for like a series, right? Like you're going to meet that guy again.
And I totally would read another book about that guy. I think that's an interesting way to tell a story through his point of view.
Okay.
It got real Lovecraftian.
Yes, it did.
And, you know.
You didn't like that part?
It was cool.
I love that monster.
Yeah, it was cool. Like, I don't mind that. That's like a thing that people really like, and I'm into it. It's kind of Warcraftian also.
Okay.
A giant floating.
I like that it sort of came out of nowhere, too. Like, you never, like, he doesn't lead up to the fact that you're going to discover, like, an alternate dimension Zane.
Yeah.
Because you haven't read it.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, sky, mile-long monsters.
They sort of, like, allude to it a little bit when they're, like, they're reading that book.
Yeah.
Like, the plague comes, or, like, the thing comes, and you're kind of like, okay. But, like, I didn't know it was going to be, like, this, like, spoiler alert, like, a giant airplane-sized floating demon-winged thing from Skyrim. That thing. It's that thing.
A dragon?
Ogma.
Parthenax?
That guy. He doesn't know because he's on the expansion.
Himaeus Mora.
Yeah. That.
And you just finished that like today, right?
Yeah, I finished it today. Yeah, it was good though. I liked it.
All right.
I would recommend it.
Anything on the radar? Or are you going to take another couple months off?
I'm going to take a couple months
off. He was already complaining about how he had to read.
No, I wasn't complaining. I was just, I'm going to probably.
That means he was totally complaining.
No, I wasn't. I probably will read. Maybe I'll finish Head Full of Ghosts.
Oh, that's right. You still haven't finished that. Yeah.
We should finish that.
It's Halloween, dude.
Yeah, it's a good spooky book.
I'm in the mood for some Halloween spookiness.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, by the time people are listening to this, it will be after Halloween. But
yeah, but I mean, I don't care about them.
I do, guys. I care about you.
40 episodes in, I'm taking a break about caring about our listeners.
Sean, what are you reading?
I have been a busy little boy this week.
Skyrim.
No, but reading, dude.
I thought you meant you were.
No. Okay. I finished The Children's Home.
Yeah, how was that?
Weird.
Yeah.
The premise was
weird.
It's not the kind of thing I usually read.
Mm.
Like, it's very, it's surreal isn't the right word, but there's something very, like, ethereal or otherworldly about it.
Okay.
And when I read stories like that, I kind of hope at some point, like, they're going to lay all the cards on the table so you find out what exactly it is that you've read.
Yeah.
It's not really like that. It's kind of vague in, okay, like, is it another world? Is it another dimension? Is it back in time?
They don't give you any hints?
There's little clues, but it's not.
What
it's
do you
not,
think it is?
I think it's an alternate dimension.
That's so many of this stuff.
But I don't want to give too much away because the book isn't even out yet. So, but it was certainly compelling enough for me to finish it. Like, I didn't give up on it. And then I read this awesome book called Made to Kill by a guy named Adam Christopher. And it's basically just a, what's his name? Raymond Chandler. You know Raymond Chandler?
No.
He's the like origin of like noir stories, okay, like LA detective.
Right.
Like, so it's that. It's a 1950s LA noir detective story.
There's a Spider Woman in it.
But the detective is a robot. He's a 7-foot-tall robot.
What the hell?
Dude, it was. I read it in like 2 days.
Is it funny?
It's fun. I don't know if it's funny. Okay. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
It's very like. It's very steeped. It wants to be like. It's written like, you know, she had legs from here to there. Like, yeah, like real. Very
did
like.
Did you ever watch
Mickey
movie,
Spillane?
Did you ever watch the movie Brick?
No.
Yeah.
It's a noir that takes place in high school. So it's like high school kids talking like.
Okay.
Like, I could have split my head open with that. You know, like describe that.
Yeah, like everything's a simile and like. And it's set in like his office is on Hollywood Boulevard, and like he wears a hat and he wears a suit and he drives a car, and his secretary is a computer, but like she talks like a 1950s
That's
secretary.
Cool.
It's a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. The author is coming to the shop, and I just like it was like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. Mm. And like I said, I knocked it out in 2 days.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun. I finished that, and then I started another book.
Look at this. This is ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. I've been busy, dude.
Oh,
Aye.
Man. I'm the one who reads the most.
Remember when I was like not reading for a while? Making up for lost time. reading another. I just started another book tonight called, I think it's called End Again.
Okay.
And it's about 4 people or maybe 6 people. I just started it. I haven't met them all yet. Who have terminal illnesses. And there's this new, like, procedure where you can have your consciousness moved into a clone of yourself.
The Nellis guy.
But the clone, like, doesn't have any, like, muscle mass or freckles or, like, it's basically like a version of you that has not lived any of your life.
Okay.
So, like, you have all your memories and you have all of your emotions, but, like one of the things I read was, like, she goes to Google something and like the fingers can't
work, right?
Find the keys. Like she has to
She's
like
not
slow
a type.
Down. Yeah, exactly. Like she knows how to type, but the body doesn't know how to type.
Huh.
That's cool.
So yeah, it could be. It seems like it's going to be interesting.
It sounds frustrating.
I would do that.
To read the book or
no.
To have your body cloned.
To have my body cloned. No. Like to not be able to like. Use my fingers.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be like.
It would be really frustrating.
Ultimately, one of these like books about like. You
I mean,
know,
maybe it's frustrating to read about. I don't know yet.
Is it worth the trade-off of curing terminal illness if what you end up with is like less than a version of what you are?
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just like projecting onto what I think the novel's theme is going to be.
I'm all about living forever. So as soon
so
as
far,
they
so good.
Invent that, let's do it.
All
Put
right.
me in that thing.
Also, Zane, I have to tell you, so I was talking to my wife, who listens to the show, last night.
Yeah, right.
And she was telling me, this is a kudos for you. She was telling me about how, like, sometimes she'll be listening to the show and get really frustrated that, like, why aren't they saying X about the topic? Like, why isn't someone saying it? And then you'll come out and say it, like, almost verbatim with what she would say.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. So
as a reminder to our listeners, Sean's wife, Paige, is my sister.
What?
That might be. Uh-oh.
Hey-o. So that's extra funny because we are psychically linked, apparently.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Which is weird.
That's cool. Well, so, you know, the next time that I'm absent, maybe Paige can sit in for me. We sound very similar.
Do you? Nah, I don't know.
I endorse this plan. All right, let's go ahead and take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about stuff on Cracking the Spine.
Kindness writes a book between the lines, like waiting at the station, people clicking through turnstiles. If snobbery is religion, we are rolling in the aisles. Mary Rich with Bob in tow, they enter like a shadow.
For the 40th time, welcome back to the second segment of Cracking the Spine. That's 80
segments. Holy crap.
Wow. Mathematics.
Wow.
Still Josh.
Josh too. We cloned each other.
Man, I'm still Zane.
Oh, I have no muscle mass.
Well, you're stunned. You're me then. I don't have any muscle mass. What the hell are you talking about?
Zane, tell the people what we're talking about today.
Today, we are going to talk about a listener suggestion submitted by Jacob. Sorry about this. Dobrolowski.
That's his fault.
Yeah, you could have changed that long ago.
Get yourself a Hollywood name, kid. Jason Dubs.
I didn't want to.
Jacob Dubs.
We never get emails from, like, John Smith. It's always something
from
that I'm like, I'm going to butcher this.
Colony of Virginia?
Yes.
He's dead.
He suggested that we talk about books that accompany other media, such as the Forgotten Realms book, like Baldur's Gate, Magic the Gathering books, Mad Max graphic novels, Star Wars books. Mm-hmm. And he said they are generally considered bad, even by the readers interested in the franchise,
yes,
but they get churned out anyway. Is the demand for the universe immersion and world building so high, or is it just an easy cash grab for IP owners?
I would guess it's the latter.
I would say both. I would say it's a little bit of both. And it's a nice symbiosis because I've done it. I've bought some really bad Star Wars books.
Is that a symbiosis or is that a parasitic relationship?
What's the difference?
Symbiotic.
Well, you might be right in that. It might be the latter, which was...
That's what, like, the money grab. The money grab idea,
yeah. But people have a disease, an addiction, and they need
it. A disease in their brain.
In their brain. They have a disease in their brain, and they need the thing. So it seems like it's a symbiosis, but really it might be a parasitic relationship.
Yeah, because like, I sort of like roll my eyes at the idea of this kind of stuff, and then mm-hmm. I'm like, and then as you're reading the list, I'm like, oh right, I love those Mad Max books.
Yeah.
Oh right,
yeah,
I read some Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the novelization of Snakes on a Plane. Like,
yeah.
Right. Like, I don't know. Like, now it seems like you can't, especially with like sci-fi, you can't not do that.
Right.
Like,
right.
It has to be that way now, and people like... people that I don't like so much use this as a storytelling device, and I am very much, if it's a film, against using like a comic book as it's called, because they're motion pictures, like you have to show the story, like
right.
The story needs to be shown and told on in that space of the movie. You can't just say like, oh, there's a comic book that explains this part of the movie,
right? Because yeah,
that's cheap, it's bullshit.
That's interesting that you said that, because I read a couple of articles about basically like this.
Of course you did, because you're our Zane.
Zane's like the computer of this show.
I'm not even close. but I read a couple of articles about the like just this question, like do movies still get novelizations? Mm-hmm. Are people buying that? And the one thing that I didn't find, which I wanted to, was stats on like how many of these units are we selling?
My guess is they don't release those stats because they're not as high as they would like you to believe they
probably
are.
Probably not.
But one of the things that I was reading about was the authors that write these novelizations, especially now, there are a bunch of them that like take great pride in that. And there's mm-hmm. actually... an International Association of Media Tie-In Writers.
Oh, no. How do
that's
I get into
it's a
that?
Is it a union?
And they give out the Scribe Awards at Comic-Cons.
I've heard of the Scribe Awards.
Yeah, that's
I'm sorry,
that.
What is it? The International...
International Association of Media Tie-In Writers.
Wow.
Can't make this stuff up.
That's crazy.
And they feel that
what's their
mission statement?
Oh, I didn't see. I didn't go into that. So I'm sorry. I don't have that for
you. No, that's okay.
But
it would just make us laugh.
They feel it was a Vanity Fair article, and they feel that like they are contributing to the story, that they're like helping to flesh out the story. They feel that they're going in and they're right. improving it in places. And one of the things that they said was, you know, people get like Academy Awards for adapting novels into screenplays, which one of them described as like basically like cutting out whole chunks of a text.
Right.
And they don't understand why what they're doing, which is they're taking a screenplay and they're fleshing it out and they're adding things back on and they're putting like 3 times as much work into it. Well, they don't understand why it doesn't get the same kind of respect. It's just, I'm not.
No, I know.
No,
I know.
No,
I'm
no,
not
no,
making
no,
any
just,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah,
point.
Yeah,
it's
no,
just
no.
when you said that,
I think there's something to be said for like the idea of fleshing out a universe. Like,
right.
you know, I don't want this to seem like the stuff that I'm into is okay and all the stuff I don't read isn't.
Right.
But like, so for the example that I'm going to use is Mad Max Fury Road
mm-hmm.
and the graphic novel
yeah.
that came out.
Right.
Like that's on my staff picks right now that I still haven't tweeted the link for.
I've read it, so.
So one of the last story in that is the origin story of the war rig.
The truck.
That the Charlize Theron Furiosa character drives in the film. Right. The film doesn't suffer from not knowing
right.
the origin story
right.
of
it doesn't matter.
Right. You could watch the movie, love the movie,
it's
go on with the rest of your life.
Never knowing
die surrounded
right.
by family that loves you.
right.
Not knowing the story of the war rig
right.
and have
you're
been okay.
Fine. Yeah.
And I don't think that having read the origin story of the war rig, one of the words you use, Zane, that like made Josh and I both like open wide eyed is improve. I don't
yeah.
think see I think that movie
yeah.
I think that tie in I think you have to be really careful as a content creator to believe that what you're doing is improving on something that someone has already created.
Right.
Yeah.
Fleshing out, sure. Expanding, sure.
Over-explaining, definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Sometimes.
I feel like you probably have a lot of passion to say about this, Josh.
Well, I have it from both sides, because, like, when I was a little kid in fifth grade, we had to read a book every month or so many books every month or whatever. And I remember going to the library and I picked out the Star Wars book, like of the movie Star Wars, which
right.
I didn't know this then, but turns out that that book, the novelization was released before the movie
yeah.
came out. So a lot of the stuff in the book, like when Luke talks to Biggs, like he like meets up with Biggs on Tatooine and stuff, like that was in the book, and I was like, what the hell is this stuff? Like, this isn't in the movie, and I was like, this is great, you know, there's like a whole section of the movie that
yeah.
I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And like that was cool, but like, I mean, does that make the movie better? Like, if that was in, like, obviously George Lucas cut it out of the movie because he didn't need it.
Right.
You know,
right.
you get the point when he meets him later, you're like, oh, they were friends
yeah.
or whatever, like, whatever. But like, it's overdone, it's so
well,
overdone.
Apparently,
now.
That seems to be the lore, like the
right.
the ongoing lure of reading these novelizations is
lure, like
yes,
like
the lure,
the bait.
Like,
yeah,
yes.
I didn't know if you meant like the okay, sorry.
The is that like you get like extended scenes
right.
or behind the scenes or extra information, like you feel like you're getting Easter eggs when you read them.
Okay,
yeah,
and that's apparent. Now again, I couldn't find any stats on how many people are buying novelizations. At some, it has to be enough to continue justifying, like, even publishing
doing
it in
it.
The first
right.
place.
Sure.
Right.
But that seems, that kept coming up as, like, that's why nowadays, in
yeah.
the age of DVDs and, you know...
Video games
and well, just being,
forums.
Yeah,
and,
DLC. It's
well,
like the DLC of...
The one of the very first novelizations that was done was of King Kong, the original King Kong.
Really?
Yes. And apparently what readers liked about novelizations back then was that you saw the movie once, maybe a couple of times in theater if you were lucky
movie.
Enough.
Okay,
yeah.
And then, like, in order to relive
yeah.
the story that you love so much, you had to read the novelization. And then that trend just kind of kept going, and it exploded in the 70s with stuff like Star Wars, stuff like Alien.
Right, but then in the 80s, VCRs happened.
Right, and then with VCRs, and then with DVDs, and now with Netflix,
right.
and Amazon, and Hulu,
and
everything. And
stealing
like,
movies, which
right,
nobody does.
Which no one does. That sales have gone down. Like, there was, like, a boom for a while, and now sales have gone down.
Yeah.
But it's that, like, extra, it's that Easter egg thing. That's like, I'm going to find out one extra thing.
That's some good research. I'm going to say great research.
Thank you.
Seriously, well done, Zane. And, again, like, if you want to know more about the universe, if you're an aspiring writer and you have this idea of, like, you know, something that you think could fill in a gap or, like, you know, a character, is it Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith when Obi-Wan goes into the diner and meets that, like, four-armed...
Attack of the Clones.
It's clones, okay. So, like, I wouldn't mind a little Dex. Backstory on... Dex, right. I wouldn't mind a little backstory on Dex. Like, it's probably there.
Yeah.
Like...
Especially in Star Wars, it's just that's rife what I mean. With
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah. Like you know, the universe is so rich and so lived in, and George, to his credit, doesn't feel compelled to lay everything on the table. So, like, there's room for that there.
Right.
But, like, I'm really stuck. Like, my brain keeps, like, the needle keeps skipping back to that word improve.
Improve, yeah.
Because, like, if you're a content creator and you think you can improve on George Lucas's universe... Or you think you can improve on George Miller's, like wasteland?
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck out of town, well, man. Like, if there is no improvement.
Even beyond that, you get into, like, reading these articles, some of the novelizations that they reference. One of them was the novelization of The Sixth Sense. And there's actually, and I was like, all right, there's a novelization of that, and there's, like, there's some of these movies where it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why did we need
didn't
to
need
do
to be
that?
That. Didn't,
or like,
right.
The one that I always think of is the book that used to live in my house when I lived with a whole bunch of people,
which was
the novelization of Battlefield Earth.
Yeah.
Which is
better.
Which is, you know, Battlefield Earth is already like an adaptation.
right.
A loose adaptation.
Right.
And now we're doing a novelization of that, and it was horrifyingly bad.
Remember that they did that that show on, I think it was AMC or maybe an A&E, and it was The Bible?
Yeah.
We had, in the store,
oh my God,
the novelization of the miniseries The Bible based on The Bible.
It gets crazy. It gets crazy.
You know, and you know what it is, you know what I'm reminded of? Actually, as we go with this, like, improved on or expanding thing, this is going to get really meta, and I might lose people on this.
Uh-oh.
The Neal Stephenson book, Reamed,
yeah.
is about basically a World of Warcraft.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's an MMO that's, like, it's Warcraft.
Yeah.
And there are two main creators of the universe. You read it, Josh. I don't know if
you
remember this.
Yeah,
there's, like, the tech guy who, like, develops the code, and then there's this other character who writes, like, the scripts that expand
the
universe.
Yeah.
And then,
which,
like,
is a guy, I don't remember his name, but that's based off an actual guy who writes all, he's one guy writes all the Warcraft's lore.
And then what happens in Reamed, and I don't know if this has happened in Warcraft, is the guy who's writing the stories, not the creator, he was hired by the creator of the universe, starts to spin the universe in places the creator not only didn't envision, didn't want, like, specifically said, I don't want it to go here.
Yeah.
And that's the danger you run into. That's fictionalized.
Right.
But as with all of Neal's stuff, like, there's a very grounded basis of it.
Right.
And that's the danger you run into. If you give somebody the ability to give, like, to think that they're improving,
right,
they then can do whatever they want.
Like, at what
it.
Point does that just turn into, like, fan fiction?
Right. Or,
like,
plagiarism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's not plagiarism unless...
Well, if you have a contract to do it, what happens
is
it's not plagiarism. Yeah. It's just stealing someone else's intellectual property.
But does it become, like, canon? Like, is that... Like, that's the whole thing with Star Wars novels is, like... You know, I know recently, because the new movie's coming out, they were like, none of that's canon. Well, whatever. It does... Whatever. It's... They called it, like, the Legacy series or something.
The new one.
They euphemize, like, this, like, term. Because, like, they need to have a blank slate to have, you know, the actual writers of the movies... That has to be what happens. Like,
right.
Something has to be legitimate. You know, anything else other than the actual thing is secondary, and it should be secondary. What I have a problem with is when they mix the two things and they're, like, inseparable. Like in Star Trek, like, there were a bunch of comics that explained things that happened in the movie. It's like, you can't do that.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to go buy some comic books just to know what's going on in your movie. Like, you got to write that. You got to write that shit in the movie, man.
Right.
And, like...
Or make it so unimportant
right.
that, like the Lucas thing, like,
right.
Dex's backstory, that it
doesn't matter.
You can get it in the comic book, but you, like...
But if it's a major event that happens, what the hell's happening, you know? And I think that that's, like, where we were headed a little bit with stuff. I mean, we seem to kind of be coming back again from that, like, in terms of, like, comic books and stuff. But even comic book movies, like Marvel movies, they just write whatever. Like, things don't happen in the comic books that way. Like,
The other thing about the Marvel movies is, like, you almost have to see every single one of them to be able to keep up. Like, because, you know, Black Widow, the Scarlett Johansson character, shows up in Captain America the Winter Soldier, and there's stuff that happens in that that influences what happens in the Avengers Age of Ultron, and then the stuff that happens in Avengers Age of Ultron is going to then reflect in Guardians of Galaxy 2, and it's like in the hands of an writer and director like Joss Whedon, he has the ability to sort of just get you up to speed or make it so that it doesn't matter if you saw those movies, you can still catch on.
Right, he's a very good science fiction writer.
But, like, if you try to watch, like, the first Captain America... Oh, I'm sorry, no, it was the second Thor movie without having seen any of the other stuff. It's like, what the hell is going on here?
You're like, who is this?
Yeah.
Who is this person? Yeah.
And, like, because Marvel's, like, you know, the 800-pound gorilla at this point, they're like, fuck you, you're going to watch these movies.
Well, that's how I feel about, like, you know I harp on it a lot, but that's how I feel about, like, the Star Trek universe at this point. Like, Paramount wanted money because all these other properties are making billions of dollars, and they were just like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And J.J. Abrams was like, okay. And then he wrote, like, I mean, the second Star Trek movie is like, I can't even believe it. Somebody read that and was like, yes, this is a movie. Like, it's like not. It's
I remember,
like,
seeing it in the theater, and that opening sequence when the Enterprise comes up from under the water. Like, in my head, I'm going, Josh is going to lose his mind.
It's crazy. Like, yeah, a spaceship. Let's put it under the water.
Yeah.
It's a spaceship.
It can survive exactly zero atmosphere.
It's a Futurama line. Yeah. How many atmospheres can this have? Well, it's a spaceship, so anywhere from zero to one. Like, but I don't know. I think, like, novelizations typically were, like, I don't know, for, like, kids, I always thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I thought that's where you were going when you said that you used to read that stuff when you were in fifth grade. Because it's like, when you're in fifth grade, oh, yeah, like, Biggs shows up in Tatooine? Right. Awesome. If you're, you know, 32 and you're going, Biggs shows up in Tatooine? Awesome. Right. I don't know. Like,
I'm not going to buy a book just for, like, the chance that maybe something will be in there that I didn't know about.
And, like, I don't want to be the arbiter of taste. I don't want to say to someone, like, you're wrong for enjoying that. Right? But, like, I'm not saying... No.
No, I know what you're saying. It's not... It's
like, look around. Look how many books are on these shelves and, like, just in this room that we're sitting in. And, like, again, like, I feel like I'm being a snob when I say, like, find something else to read.
But that's a part of the fun,
The problem is, as long as you keep buying it, they're going to keep printing it. It's your thing, Zane. Like, you don't have the stats on it, but clearly...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And, you know, the only stats I could find are... what the authors are paid, which is not much.
Okay.
Authors are typically given anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000 for 85,000 to 150,000 words.
Wow.
And they receive 1-3% of the royalties. It is, but also it's not like they're, like, making a killing.
No, but they're doing, like, they don't have to do the hard part, which is make the story.
Create a universe.
And with the exception of, like, the Star Wars novels, most of them are coming out, like, the cost of publication.
Well, and a lot of times, like, stuff like that, a lot of these are essentially, like, works for hire.
Right.
You know, so I think sometimes you get, like, bigger names to deal with the novelizations. Like, the novelization of The Phantom Menace was written by Terry Brooks.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I imagine something like that is a different deal.
And the newest Star Wars was done by Chuck Wendig. Actually, he's doing the next, two more after that.
So, you know, like, that's different than just a work for hire.
Right.
But it's just trying to, like, because I kept reading all these articles that were like, why does this exist? Why and all of them were like, we don't know, but they are.
Well, it's the answer, you know, like, is because you fuckers are buying
them. The answer is, it's the same reason when you go to a grocery store and you go to the, quote, toy aisle and you see, like a G.I. Joe ripoff is because somebody's going to see it and be like, I want that. Right. Like, and they're banking on that, like, percentage of people who are just like, I'm going to buy that.
Well, I also, I don't know, like, you know, we know what the authors are given, but I don't even know what the overhead on a book like that is.
Well, that's why I said, like most of them. It
might be easy to break even. They like, might only have to move, like, a few thousand copies. Yeah.
And my guess would be they probably, like, this kind of market is probably doing a lot more of their business in ebook.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you know there is no cost to publish it. Right. Like there's no paper print, there's no printing, there's no shipping.
Yeah.
I'll bet you would find a large like volume of these books on like your Kindle or your iBooks.
Yeah.
That you would not find in a bookstore.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know, man. It just feels like there's a certain level of like schlockiness to it.
Yes, for sure.
Like you're just like sort of, it sort of looks like you're like, this kind of feels weird.
Like, it's like, it's secondhand embarrassing.
Yeah, like why would I read this?
So do you guys think that there is like, is there a universe or a film that you love so much that if you stumbled across the novelization, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to read that?
No, there's nothing. I would never. There's not, I don't, I wouldn't even, I couldn't even imagine in my wildest dreams a thing that I'd be like, I'm going to read the book of that. Unless it was a book already. Like, you know, I would probably read The Martian, but that's the real book of The Martian.
Right, right. That's right, what I keep writing. I was like, maybe like Harry Potter, and I was like,
yeah, but
hold on,
those are the books, yeah.
Only if it's J.K. Rowling.
Right.
Sean.
Maybe. I only say that because I have in the past. Like, well, I read the novelization of Snakes on a Plane before I saw Snakes on a Plane.
Yeah, but that's, like, that's a bit, though. Like, that was, like, a thing,
but that's
right?
What I'm, but that's, I mean, yeah, but, like.
Yeah, but not I everything mean, is going to be, like, a niche, like, a perfect.
I mean, you bit. Know, I would not approach the novelization of a franchise with the same fervor that I would, like, you know, like we were talking about last week's, like, my big authors, like Neal Stephenson's or Matt Ruff's of the world. But, like, I don't know, if I saw the next Roland Emmerich world-ending movie, and it was awful, and then there was a novelization of it, I'd be like, all right.
Yeah, but I still think that that's sort of like, you're in on like a joke there. Like, I don't know.
But I don't think, I don't think that the person who wrote the novelization of Snakes on a Plane is in on the joke. They're not doing it to be funny.
Well, that's perfect for the people who wanted to make it, because that's beautiful.
Right, yeah, that's
what
I mean.
You make them write the book seriously, and then you read it, and you're like, what? The hell is this?
Just as an interesting aside, a story that I read this week, Max Barry, who's another one of my authors, Australian science fiction, apparently someone like sent him an email and was like, hey, you know, how's the new book? Like, how's the sales of the new book going? And he was like, I haven't published any new books. Yeah. And they're like, yeah. And they sent him like a Goodreads link to a book that like he wrote. So he like checked through and apparently it was like an Amazon like print on demand book.
Really?
So he wrote Amazon and was like, hey, I didn't write this novel. And the next day it was taken down because apparently it's a thing now that computer like bots are writing novels.
Oh, man.
As major authors.
Holy
putting
shit.
Them on Amazon to sell.
What?
Until like someone calls them out on it.
That's fucking crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Dude, isn't that crazy?
Can you imagine what reading one of those books must be like?
Yeah, like if I found that and was like, oh my god, Max Barry had a book out that I didn't know about?
You
like,
would buy it.
Is there like actually text in that?
They pulled
or
it down.
Or is it just like a...
No, there was text in it, but I don't know if it was like, you know,
is
like...
It, or is it like
Ipsum
when
lorem.
You go to like download a movie and it's like not the real
like
file?
Like a full,
you know?
Like a scam? Or is it really like the way...
Like cut and paste text from other things.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. That's
I mean,
so crazy.
That's horrible for the authors, but also I would kind of be interested to read one of those texts and see what the hell's in it.
It's so weird, man.
Yeah, just another way to look at it.
That's super weird.
All right, cool. So let's go ahead and take ourselves a little break here, and when we come back, we'll do the segment that Josh doesn't know about.
Which segment is that?
We'll be right back.
Shattered, yes, I feel I'm at an end. I don't know what's wrong with me, I don't know where to begin.
Welcome back to Cracking the Spine. I am Josh.
I'm Sean.
I don't know what's going on.
It's segment three.
So, awesome listeners. We got a couple of emails from this week.
Yeah.
That I just want to get into. And it's going back to the episode about video game storytelling.
Yes.
First one is from Colin Brady. What up, Colin?
Bow.
Dude, you read my mind. I was going to ask for some Colin klaxons.
Dude, I know all about klaxon timing.
And Colin had to say, I loved your recent episode about storytelling in video games.
Thanks, Colin.
And I thought you might find these interesting. And then he gives me a link to a discussion with Rihanna Pratchett, the daughter of Terry Pratchett, and she's also the lead writer for the new Tomb Raider games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a talk about diversity and writing in video games. I watched it. It was super awesome. Very mm-hmm. interesting. And there was also another one that he linked to from Ken Levine, who is
yep.
Zane's video game boyfriend. He created BioShock. Well, no, I mean, just like... Mentally so. He created BioShock.
I know. It doesn't make him my boyfriend.
Video game boyfriend.
Yeah. Come on, Zane.
I don't understand the concept. Move on.
Well, anyway. When you turn 16, you will.
It's a talk from Game Developers Conference about something called Narrative Legos, which I didn't actually get a chance to watch this one. It says it's a new narrative system he's developing for his next game. It's more about non-linear narratives, but also very interesting to listen to. And he said, just this is for you guys too, if you want a great story in a video game, I suggest Bastion by Supergiant Games. One of the best stories I've ever played. Mm-hmm. Also a kick-ass soundtrack.
No, I've heard of it. That's considered a good game story-wise.
And then we got an email from Jacob, who's the guy who suggested tonight's topic.
Yep.
Those were terrible.
Those were terrible.
You want to do it again?
Jacob. No, just edit them out.
I never do that. So I thought it was interesting because I think this might be one of the rare examples when we get an email that disagrees with us.
Yeah.
That's not okay.
And not in that like internet like yeah. you're wrong yeah. and everything you said is stupid. Yeah. Why are you alive? Way, but more constructive.
I can take criticism.
He talked about how our love for BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
And he said he wrote. Well, I'll read it. In episode 38, you discussed storytelling in video games. One of the examples of a good story you gave was BioShock Infinite. On the surface, it may seem complex and deep, but when you analyze it for a while, the story falls apart. I'm not crusading against the game, since I had some fun with it, but I recommend watching the following video, YouTube link. It discusses game mechanics and the story, and he said he shares the opinion of the video's creator that Infinite should not have been a first-person shooter. That story doesn't belong with those mechanics. It may not even belong in a video game at all. It may have made a good graphic novel.
Yeah, and video game mechanics aren't the story.
I think that's sort of like parsing it too hard. Like for me, I played the game and immediately my reaction was like, this story is fucking incredible.
Right.
I've never been told a story like this. And like, yes, I suppose, like if you break the story down and you write it out,
you can do that with anything.
It's like, well, I guess it doesn't make sense or there's loopholes. And like, yeah, there are. He's absolutely right. But what made the impact on me was like the immediate reaction that it created.
And
it
I think
like,
it's more tonal.
Holy
not,
crap.
Yeah. Yeah. And know, I don't think
like
we specifically.
That was incredible. So in that respect, like it was very successful in terms of storytelling.
I don't think we specifically said this in that episode, but I think we tend to give video games a little bit more leeway.
Yes.
In terms of
yes,
storytelling
yes.
because by and large, we don't. I personally don't think of storytelling like some of video games as a medium to tell a compelling story.
Right.
So what happens is when we do get a compelling story in a video game, yeah. it rises to another level.
Absolutely.
You're going to get another.
Well, and like, and first and foremost,
flood the inbox.
You know, was it fun to play?
Right.
And then on top of that, I got a pretty good story.
Yeah. Right.
Like that's a pretty good
average. It's a pretty simple story. It's not that complicated. It's not a story that's never been told
before.
Well,
I think what he's saying is like when you get into it, it kind of needs to get complicated and it doesn't really make sense and it breaks down. And
which he's kind of right about that. But
he's absolutely right.
I don't know if I'd want to play a game that needs to get as in-depth as we want that story.
Well, it definitely didn't like ruin the game for me. I was
definitely.
Like, well, that doesn't make sense, you know.
All right, cool. But
good point, Jacob.
Thank you, Jacob. And thank you, Colin. And thank you, everybody. Nice.
Thanks for feedback and emails. We love them.
So feel free to drop us any kind of email at crackingthespineshow@gmail.com and Twitter at crackingspine. Zane, what?
Oh, and I was just going to tell people to let us know if you've actually read any like novelizations.
Oh, yeah.
Or media tie-in stuff. Like,
I feel
let
like we may have insulted some people.
What are you into?
We didn't bring up my favorite novelization, the novelization of Seven that I have at my house that was at where we used to work at GamerVision.
I don't think I've ever seen
that. Whose was
that?
It just was floating around the office one day, and I was like, I'm taking this home.
Have you read it?
No, I've never read it.
Why would you even ask?
Those are things you just keep on your shelf. That's like my novelization of Quantum Leap. Yeah. It's just on my shelf.
Which is great.
We've heard some of that.
Yep, that's the first time I cracked through it.
All right, cool. Well, anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And send us, you know, show ideas or things we got wrong or things we got right or whatever you got. We'll take it.
Compliments.
And we'll see you next week for 40 more, guys. Looking forward to 40 more.
Oh, boy. Me too. All
right. We'll talk more next week.
Best show ever.